God, Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the show today, Israelite Way of Life, also known as Blueprint for Life. Zion is calling. I am V, the preacher. We are live on Blog Talk, Babylon Talk Radio, and I pray that the signal's coming through loud and clear today. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we're going to rejoice about it and be glad. It's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to break bread with the believers spread throughout the four corners of the earth and just fellowship and come together the best way we know how as we try to encourage ourselves on this particular day so that we can continue the fight, the effort, the work to encourage others to come back to Yah, his statutes, laws, and commandments, and to walk away from religiosity, traditions, pagan temples, witchcraft, idolatry, and lawlessness, but to come back, Yah, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body. And listen, I unapologetically speak to my people first and foremost, and then to the rest of the fragments, remnant, strangers, who will sojourn amongst us, understanding who we are as a people, and decide to get on this train, get on board this train, if you want to make it back to Zion. Let's get ready to go for a pop. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Father, we're asking that you watch over our brothers and sisters spread throughout the four corners of the earth and bless them, restore them, revitalize them, renew their spirits and their minds, especially our elders and our community, those that are in this truth, those that are struggling with there being no church on Sundays, and those that just have not made up their minds yet. We know that you are not the author of confusion, Father, and that that is a demonic spirit, and we curse it in the name of Yeshua right now. We curse that spirit of confusion that's on people. They can't seem to make up their minds and vacillating between two points because of looking at man and looking at flesh but not understanding your spirit. Open their eyes and their ears on today. Bless all the other prophets that are prophesying. May the word fall onto good soil and take root so that our kingdom and our people will grow and so that the light of the world will increase and the salt of the earth will increase. Until you come back for your people, we ask these blessings in the name of our brother and Messiah, Yahshua, Yah. All praises be unto him. Glory and honor be unto him. Hallelujah. Yeshua, praises to the Most High. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Those of you who have been supporting our endeavors and the ministry, we look forward to coming to you every week with some understanding, some information, and some knowledge. I want to thank you all who've been listening on Wednesdays, because that has become a very important show as we deal with health, the jab, the fear, pandemic. We've been able to share some vital information that could possibly help you to endure through this trial, this period, and to keep your temple, your body strong, as well as your mind and your spirit, how to better take care of ourselves and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments as it pertains to the dietary laws as well, how to eat, how to take care of ourselves so that we can keep our minds clear. Part of this spiritual attack with this pestilence and pandemic, I hear a lot of people complain about fogginess of mind. We're struggling a lot with mental issues and the mind. Older people with Alzheimer's and dementia, younger people just forgetting things and being hazy-minded. Now that they know weed is legal, they're smoking weed and really hazy-minded, can't remember themselves. Everybody's struggling with their minds, and it's a spiritual battle we're in, good against evil, because this so-called New World Order, Satan's kingdom, has decided they're on an all-out assault to go ahead and destroy humanity now, because they realize they're running out of time. Brothers and sisters, we're running out of time. You realize that as you look at how short the days are. And the days are definitely growing shorter. But nevertheless, as we go through these things, there are vitamin supplements and herbs that we can implement into our lifestyle that can help us to combat this thing. Things that were given by the Most High to help us fight against the spirits, the demons. Even Noah was given a list, a book of herbs, to be able to bring healing to mankind after they got off of the boat, because he knew that there would be a lot of pestilence in the land and sickness, or that there might be lingering sin for the unrepentant. And he would have to have knowledge of certain things to give to them to bring about their healing as they went into a life of sinlessness. As we know, Yeshua would heal people and then tell them, go and sin no more. Your sin can bring, your sin separates you from Yah. You know, he'll hide his face from you. And you actually make a covenant with Satan and demons to come in and possess you. And they don't just possess you to make you spit out green pea soup and your head do a 360-degree turn. No, some of the possession can be mental illness, uncurable diseases, cancers. That is possession as well. A lot of people want to say that, eventually we do all have to go sometimes, but there are many saints, our people, who die in their sleep peacefully. They're not murdered, shot in the back without protection, are struggling with a disease that sin has brought upon them. Now, let's not get it wrong. The thief died on the cross and went into the kingdom the next day because he recognized who Yeshua is. Many people do get a chance of a long extended sickness to give them a chance to repent on their deathbed and perhaps make it into the kingdom. Not my assignment to put anybody in hell or heaven. Then there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. In that event, even their soul can possibly be saved. So I've seen throughout my tenure on this earth a lot of terminal diseases that last a long time bring a man into inventory, title of our lesson today, to do inventory over his life, what he's accomplished, what he hasn't done. It can be a sad period for a lot of people who are dying or who are old when they live a life full of regrets or mistakes that they've made, and they know that the mistakes they've made is leading to their mortality, their fatality as well. So that's why Scripture tells you only what you do for Christ will last. And we do know in that event that it's possible to be taken out by something that'll be incurable. It has fallen up under the judgment of Yah, judgment that people have to pay for. If anybody knows that, David knows it, because he could not repent away the consequences of his actions as he laid with Bathsheba, first killing her husband, laying with her, and giving her child. That's a pretty ruthless thing right there. I have to say it myself. And he repented, but after he repented, he still lost that child. And then he married Bathsheba, had to marry her, not leave her like that, but still he produced a Solomon. I say all that to say, as I'm talking about sickness, that sin can bring sickness, but the sickness has to be cured. But once it's cured, there are spiritual implications and consequences that you'll have to face. So let's be careful. Keep sin out of our lives. Love not this world. And learn how to take care of our bodies. There's something spiritual about taking these herbs and supplements that changes you from within as well. When you start to take care of this temple, you start to do more introspect, inventory once again, and look over what you're not doing right, what needs to be corrected. It's as if the Ruach comes in and starts giving you a checklist of not just your body, but what's coming out your mouth towards other people, how you're treating other people, how you talk to other people. The Ruach is a checker, not just a comforter. Brings things to remembrance. And there's some things you don't even know yet, meaning that you haven't read the scripture, found chapter, the verse, and all that. The Holy Spirit will bring to you, and you haven't read it, but he'll lead you to it. And then you'll say, oh, so this is a process. And that's why we're so excited about doing the Wednesday show, because it gives you a chance to open your eyes to what's being hidden in plain sight as far as these jabs, this pandemic, and what Esau, these Edomites, man is doing, especially to Jacob, the Israelites, and to inhibit our Israelite way of life, which is why we cannot live a lawless life. And the dietary laws are part of the laws. We're just living under a renewed covenant, not a reduced or removed covenant. A renewed covenant that puts us in the priesthood under the order of Melchizedek, and the chief priest being Yeshua, who's making intercessions on our behalf. Tune in on Wednesdays if you get a chance. And then every now and then sporadically we'll do other shows about the awakening, who we are as a people, how this manuscript, this book, is really the sojourn and the history of a people. It's not an article for religious dogma to create false religions and control people and write your own narrative. No, this book was given to a people that tells them who they are as a people and what's going to befall them and all the other nations. It's prophetic, of biblical proportions. So we bring that out as we are definitely in the middle of a major awakening of the whole world. The children of Israel are waking up to who they are, but this whole world is realizing, wait a minute, something's not right. And something or somebody's in control pulling some dastardly strings. So we tend to get into that. But today is the Sabbath, and I really just want to just read some scriptures and talk about the word. Let Yah do the talking today and be led by his spirit. For whomever may be listening that might need courage, I want to talk to you today. As we go through some of the scriptures I want to go through today won't deal with us doing inventory of our personal lives. I can tell you what to eat. I can tell you you're Hebrew. When you get through with all that, do you know him and does he know you? Do you have a relationship with Yah? Are you delivered? Are you set free? Are you still struggling secretly with personal and private issues? See, you can know what to put in your body and eat, because it's a bunch of folks that's just into this because it's trendy right now. I'm talking about wholemongers, adulterers, fornicators. Everybody got a supplement now, okay? Everybody knows that this is a buzzword, healthy. right now. And a lot of people are waking up to the fact that Christianity was beat into us through slavery, and that we're, and it's some the image that's used in, was used in slavery to depict Jesus Christ was the image of a Eurocentric person, a model, Cesare Borgia, the sixth pope's second son, who was into incest and murder and homosexuality, pushed his image upon us in the name of white supremacy. After you get through knowing all these things, because trust me, when I first found out about that part, all I was angry for forever. But still not dealing with my issues. And Israel, we got issues when we walk away from the commandments, statutes, and laws, which is what's put us into captivity on seven occasions, because we kept being disobedient to Yah. Disobedient. And so there's a process for you to get to where Yeshua was. I'm going to talk about his commands and some of those things a little bit later, but what I want to bring out real quick is that there's no such thing as spiritual Israelites. We are the Israelites, but we must be converted. I alluded to this last week. Conversion is a process. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple, because you know, you've been simple-minded your whole life by just doing things that you learned from tradition, even from your cousins, your uncles, your grandma, your mom, your dad, my grandmother, just the way we used to do it. You're being handed down traditions that you think is life, and it's not, and you don't want to change. Even the Sunday false Christianity church taught you traditions to make you think you're close to Yah when you're not. You can't even hear your prayers because you're not keeping his commandments. You're living any kind of way. You feel like you could just live in sin because you got grace, because you've been taught wrong. And we've got to return back to the commandments of the kingdom, if you want to be in this kingdom. So when will we take responsibility and stop making excuses for ourselves and our sins? That's what we have a propensity to do, is to make excuses for ourselves. And you know what? The respect that we expect from others, we don't even show ourselves with how we treat ourselves and what we reduce ourselves to. Even the people that you call boyfriend, girlfriend, mates, or bed buddies, how you disrespected your temple and you disrespected your the level you were on and your body for personal reasons. We don't even respect God's creation. The Most High Yah, his creation, you. When you begin to respect the profoundness of him making you and then putting a personalized soul inside of you and then kissing you with his spirit, why you? Do you know how blessed you are to be able to be in that position? But yet you want to willfully sin, there remains no room for repentance for you that willfully sin. Let me read some scriptures today because I'm already in it, and I'm in it to win it. So, like I said, I got a lot of scriptures today I just want to read. But this one, as far as what I'm talking about right now, Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, said this about Yesha. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Powerful. And listen to this. And the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of fear of the Lord, which is reverential, where you reverence his presence, his auspiciousness. All of these things rested upon Yesha and should rest on you. That is a process you have to come into, Israelite. So there are many things that come into you when you start to respect yourself, respect your temple. There's the baptism of water and fire. And the baptism of fire will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. And we see the seven spirits of Yah resting on Yeshua right here in these two verses. This is what changes people's levels of ministry. Although we're equal brothers in this partnership, some of you don't have the gift of healing. Some of you don't have the gift of tongues. Some of you don't have the word of knowledge. Some of you don't have the gift of discernment and foretelling. See that? Different gifts come. Empowerments. But when we take inventory, as it pertains to the fruits of the Spirit. Because if they're not functioning in your life, chances are Yah's Spirit is not upon you. And the reason is would be because you are in sin. And what is sin? Transgression of the law, ignoring the Ten Commandments, the moral law. We're not talking about the temple commandments. We're not in our homeland. We don't have our temple back home. We're not in Israel. Gentiles are trodden. Israel is being trodden down by the Gentiles right now. Them Ashkenazi, Khazarian, fake wannabe Jew, I wish. They over there trotting it down. But the ones that are applicable, we know who what they are. I'm not going into that lesson today. Too many folks out there talking about that. I'm going to stay in my lane today. My assignment today is inventory. I'm not covering all these diverse subjects. There's enough folks preaching, teaching. You can hear a lot of stuff. The reason you're confused and vacillating because you're probably listening to too many teachers and you're trying to get this knowledge, but you have not come to the point of understanding. You must be born again, transformed, and transcend. You can have all this knowledge. I'm a Hebrew and still go to hell. So how do I get this thing that my grandmama used to sing in church, Blessed Assurance? It's through keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments, because 1 John 2 and 3 says, we hereby do know that we know him. That initiates confidence. He's saying in 1 John 2 and 3, we hereby do know that we know him. That's assurance. That's confidence. If we keep his commandments. What is inside you to make you push you towards doing this is the Spirit of Yah calling on you. But you will block out his voice and run to your sin that does so easily beset you before you crucify your flesh, because nobody has enough strength to crucify their flesh. It's because the Holy Spirit's not at work in you. You've got to crucify this flesh in this hour of good against evil, in this battle. You've got to persecute your eyes, your tingling skin and flesh, your loins, and your thoughts. Are you man enough? Are you woman enough? Men, you don't want to grow up and become men, and women, you have to fight against the spirit of Jezebel, which is running rampant throughout the whole world. Even over in the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, where they were, and Japan, where they were taught to be submissive, they all want to follow a Western model, Eurocentric culture from watching the movies that came out of Hollywood that go overseas. All the women want to rebel because they're emitting that spirit of Jezebel all over the world around women to keep men from being real men. And unfortunately, the spirit that's being emitted with men also is not only do you not only want to grow up and be a man, now you want people to consider your feelings because the spirit of Jezebel is coming on you and causing you to be effeminate. And now you want to get in touch with your feelings and don't want to work and want to raise the baby and stay home and scared to go outside. Powerful spirit, it needs to be destroyed. We hereby do know that we know him, that's assurance, if we keep his commandments. If you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So you don't have this assurance if you're not keeping the commandments. And if you're a liar, we know that Satan is the father of lies. He created it. Tell a lie. It's his
he can't even fathom it. Just does. He's all about truth. Satan is all about deception, slick, wicked, evil tongue. Who has them type of gifts today in the earth? Slime. Slimy attorneys. Slime. Slimy pimps and human traffickers. Slime. People who handle money investments and steal people's money. It's the spirit of Satan that's on these people that operate like this. Contracts. It's because of slime. Music contracts. Sell your soul. See, the whole world has been turned over to the hands of the wicked. Slimy judges that will give Jacob life, turn around and give Esau 2 years probation. Slime. You put your trust and confidence in that. Your trust and confidence has to be in the kingdom rules and kingdom laws that Yah has laid out, which are his commandments. I can't believe the church tells you that the Christianity way is that we're spiritual Israelites. People can be grafted in and all that stuff. No, you got a renewed covenant, Israel. It's about you. It's always been about you. I'm about to read you some things real quick before I go into some more about the commandments. Look at Isaiah 45 and 17. This whole thing is revolving around you. It says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. So when he comes to deliver us and save us, and this is the book of Isaiah, not the New Testament, making it clear that he's coming for Israel. And we will no longer be ashamed with our head down because the whole world hates us. This is why he told us, love not the world. It's not no God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We talked about that last week. There's a world, it's a microcosm of people. We talked about different worlds. But Israel is a world that will never end. Not no spiritual Israelites. It is the physical inheritance of a scattered people. The tribe of Benjamin and Judah, and then the northern kingdom as well, the southern and northern kingdoms that were split after the sin of Solomon. Let me read you something out of the book of Ezra. Shit, like, let's look at this. Isaiah, then I'll go to Ezra. But first, let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Verses 13 through 18. 13 says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations, which is racist today, are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken Yah, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Not thinking about these other nations. We made him jealous in the book of Romans, so he opened it up to a remnant of the people that will come in and serve. But let's go to 2 Esdras, the 6th chapter, 54th verse, a precept for what I just read. And over these you set Adam, the leader of all the things you had made. From him we all, the people you have chosen, have been brought forth. I have said all these things before you, Lord, because you have said that you created the oldest age for our sake. You have said that the other nations born of Adam are nothing, that they are like spit. And you have compared their abundance to a drop from a pitcher. But look now, Lord, these nations that are valued as nothing, they rule over us and devour us, while we, your people, whom you have called your oldest offspring your one and only child. Those who are zealous for you, your dearest ones, are handed over to them. If the world was created for our sake, why don't we possess our world as an inheritance? How long will this situation last? It's from the book of 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha, the 6th chapter, 54 through 57. And we're all in that frame of mind asking, how long will this last? There is a salvation for Israel, but we've got to turn back and break the covenant cycles of worshiping Satan. We don't really understand how far this worship of Satan has gone as he sits in the seat of the Vatican, in Vatican City, and all these religions spawn from him to distort, confuse people. We don't even realize that we are in covenant with him by worshiping traditional gods and walking away from the love of the Father. So, you know, the thing about a covenant is to give permission to go into league, to go into corporate companionship with one another, to go into a partnership. When you break bread, drink wine. This is why you're not supposed to break bread and drink with everyone, because you go into a covenant partnership. It's an intimate setting. And when we have the Lord's Supper, we're renewing like the covenant. We're doing it in remembrance of him. The question is being asked, how long will this situation last? Until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And until that little small remnant of Gentiles have come in, which is not us, we're Israel. But then also, when enough of our people turned back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, and praying and seeking him. You have gotten in trouble over the years with what's been called the Black Church. And that more so indemnifies the religion of slavery that was taught to you, as we were pulled away from our cultural heritage, which brought about our spirituality and left us searching. And we have become more comfortable with the covenant in league with the Catholic Church of worshiping on Sunday, worshiping gods of wood and stone, and getting caught up into idolatry, idol worship, going to man's altars to so-called repent instead of going to Yah, trying to please man with the outer appearance but not taking care of the inner man, because the inner man can only be dealt with, converted, by adhering to the laws and commandments. There'll be no conversion until you begin to convert yourself by doing the commandments. But I had to pause on that so you can understand. There's a difference. You have got to be a doer, not a hearer. This is what causes you to become Kodesh and set apart, which is what changes the inside, the interior. So unfortunately, the covenant that you've established with this world system and this world's religion, you don't even realize it's being broken right now. And you're being pulled on by the Spirit of Yah to come back to him and his commandments and to build up a personal relationship with him, to destroy demons in your life. We're losing a lot of people. They're dying, and they're making poor decisions on getting a jab. And they don't have faith in Yah because they were worshiping a Eurocentric image and a day, Sunday morning, and a wooden cross, and being around other people with no true relationship, just association. Association that made the conscience feel good and think, okay, I'm just trying to do the right thing, because the majority of us live in denial and we don't like to stop, pause, and do inventory. And for some of us, I've said this on many occasions, silence can be so loud. OK, because you have a flurry, a plethora of demons living inside you that have no rest, no peace. If you can't sit in a room of extreme quietness and meditate and deal with Yah because you're restless, chances are there's some spirits and demons that you're still struggling with. You don't know peace. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. He can calm the storm. That song this morning, I don't know why it popped up. It was a song, it's an R&B song, but it's called Somebody Take the Storm Away. Because most people in life are running and running and running and running because they have no peace. And Yasha is the Prince of Peace. Chronicles says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. So Israel's got to be humble, lose their arrogance. They love right now being, you know, bishops and apostles. And I got 8 churches. We got 100 churches all over the world. And we're sitting at the uppermost tables, the robes on and the bishop's rings and the chains and the security. We lost our minds. That's what we've done. Come back to him. It's time to come back to him. It's time to come back to his statutes, laws, and commandments. Let's look at Mark, the 7th chapter, 7th verse. That's right. Every other nation is at spit. We are not spiritual Israelites. There are no spiritual Israelites. He's calling for his people to come back. These other people, we'll see in scripture a little bit later, that are going to come in, will come in and serve and live in another land, another area, into a righteous kingdom to serve us. Because he that has led into captivity shall go into captivity. I told you at the beginning of the lesson that you were taught to worship the image of Cesar Borgia's son out of the selfishness of white supremacy, because the act and mentality of you bowing down to a white man to kiss his feet, worship him, and pay penance is what has given them that feeling that they are superior and you are inferior. And this mental bondage is being broken right now in this battle against good and evil. It's almost a battle. I hate to say it because I'm not trying to promote any race war, but we see who has the upper hand right now and who's called minority and who's being trampled down. That's why the scripture said the meek shall inherit the earth. These people are evil who want to see you destroyed and can care less about you sleeping on a tent in the streets and will walk right over you. Mark 7:7-9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is what you have happening, as I was saying, that they lost their way. Because they don't even want to teach the commandments. It's in vain they worship him, teaching for the doctrines that they believe in and the commandments of men, not the commandments of Yah. So this is why people don't like instructions and rules. But every time you went to church back in the day, you had to learn what pastor wanted, what pastor said. Pastor said this, pastor said that. They'd rather listen to pastor than listen to Yeshua, who was keeping the holy days, the high holy days, the feast days. Your pastor tell you to come to 3 services on Sunday and you go. And then he'll tell you to go sit in that cafeteria and eat some ham sandwiches and you do it. Telling sisters to go in and out of his office all during the Sunday service. What are you doing? Verse 8, for laying aside the commandments of Yah, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of cups and many other such like things you do. You'd rather hold the traditions of men. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandments of Yah that ye may keep your own traditions. At the core, at the end of the day, those Israelites who still won't wake up to this truth, they're asleep. Some of us are still asleep in part. But the reason some are still asleep because they're like, no. All I know is what I know, and this is what I'm going to know when I leave. I'm going to do it this way. You pride yourself if you're not regular like a lot of these people, because you, inside you, if you're a little irregular, inside you lies the ability to be a rebel. And to be able to be a rebel is to rebel against traditions and to have the confidence in yourself and what you hear and believe to cause you to rebel against tradition and not go with the norm, because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way which goes into righteousness, that leads to salvation, that leads to the kingdom. It's not, it's a small path. Going to hell is a 10-lane freeway. Getting into the kingdom is one lane, one-way street. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. No, we'll skip that. We'll just leave it there. Let's look at something else that'll complement that scripture. Colossians 2 and 8. Still there. Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen, there's a lot I want to pull out here, but let me go back to this world thing, because it's this whole thing about spiritual Israelites and God's love the world. No, he's talked about a different kind of world. Why would the Most High tell you love not the world or the things within the world if he so loved the world? So you got to understand how to read this Bible. And even right here, we see that we get in trouble following the rudiments, the way the world gets down. And we're being instructed right here to not follow after these things. I'll look this up for you in the Greek Strong's, to give you better insight as to understand the rudiments, and then we'll break down the rest of the scripture. That's what people are doing. Whatever seems right to society, that's what people want to do. I think they call it now being politically correct. And politically correct is going to take you politically to hell. Stoichion, presumed order of debate, something orderly in arrangement, a serial, a constituent, a proposition, a principle, certain elements. So follow not the propositions of the world is what is being told here, because this is what people do. And the world, Satan is always up in the church. Let me tell you something about the Christian church on Sundays. They're 501c3 organizations that have to comply with the statutes and laws of this land. So if the world says gay marriage, okay, if a gay couple comes in your church on Sunday, you better marry them or we're shutting you down. And we just found that out. When they shut all those churches down, they had to comply because government could come in and kick down the doors. If you quiet as is kept, if you really want to know the truth, after Yeshua, he rose up into the kingdom, we had small churches, secret churches in caves and homes. We went from house to house breaking bread and fellowshipping. We didn't build these pagan temples. That came about. The destruction of Jerusalem was 70 AD, but a little bit later with Constantine in 300, you got all these temples and this new Christianity religion coming up where he merged paganism with our Hebrew culture and came up with Christmas and all these other pagan holidays for us to worship. That had nothing to do with us. We would go into homes and caves and fellowship and try to come together as often as we possibly could. But for the most part, we had to keep our holy days within the confines of our families. Now, how be it? Now, when Pentecost came, which we're in the season of Pentecost now, when Pentecost came, that was the Feast of First Fruits. Feast of First Fruits, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. And people came who were our true Israelites, Hebrews from all over the world, came to partake and be a part of this celebration. Something we need to understand is the things that we think that are necessarily against us are the rudiments of the world, and it's not following after Christ. Yah's in control of all things, and some of the things that are transpiring right now, there's a rhyme. There's a rhyme to the rhythm. There's a method to the madness. It's a blessing in disguise, and you don't know it. Let me go back to the scripture. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. A lot of us that watch a lot of these camps and different people, we put these people on plateaus, and they get full of vanity because they teach all the time. And sometimes I wish I could sit back and just listen to myself, which is what I do throughout the week, so that I can learn. But I always ask people or tell people, don't let anybody be philosophical to you in answering your questions or your Bible questions. They should be giving you scriptures, and it should be line upon line, precept upon precept. Favorite saying is, what scripture is that? And then, as we just got to talking about this last part, is the propositions. Satan is constantly propositioning you with lies and deceit. So you have to watch it. You have to watch people that want to prophesy in your life, which are speaking the oracles of Satan, because they learned something. They learned something in the Christian church that they're trying to carry on into Hebrew Christianity, and think they are in a position to prophesy into your life and say, I see God doing, I see God. You don't see nothing, because the person prophesying to you hasn't even taken inventory on themselves. Some of the most egregious sins in Israel have been committed by so-called pastors, prophets, and bishops, the so-called leaders, which is why they'll be judged. And the vanity that exists in one who thinks that they have a gift. You got to remember also that the first king over Israel, who was Saul, his fall came through a woman who was in the dark arts. Our first king fell, thought he could cheat God. Samuel wasn't around. He had no spiritual eyesight, couldn't do his own inventory. So he sought the means of Satan, and she prophesied right into his life, his own destruction. And that's what we have to be careful of, because all of us, instead of building a relationship that will give us a connectivity to Yah, we would prefer for someone else to give us insight. Because my people always seek a sign, don't have the ability to follow him according to the dictates of their faith. They have no faith. Let's look at another scripture so I can stay in line here. I said I was going to read today. Jeremiah 17 and 4. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. And this is talking about the sins of Judah and Israel, and how we upset Yah by constantly walking away and seeking signs, going after the rudiments of the world, looking into dark arts, running around here, getting caught up into the debates with your fellow Hebrews or with your former Christian parishioners. None of this leads to godliness. We do all these things, but won't stop to take the inventory of repentance for our sins and our forefathers' sins. The sins of our forefathers. He's so displeased with us when we don't by faith listen to him and follow after him and inquire of him and ask of him to give us of his spirit, like Yeshua had on his life in Isaiah 11 and 1, so that we can have the fruits of the spirit operating in our lives. It's so easy to be distracted now, my point really today, with what's going on, it's very distracting, that you lose sight of the fact that how much time do you have left on the earth? And is my soul in good standing with Yah? You're so distracted that you can't come out of the sins that do so easily affect you. So you have not been able to conquer your flesh or your past because your relationship is just not there. Let's get into some more scriptures before we get ready to close out. We've got quite a few. I think you'll like some of these scriptures. Let's look at Matthew 5. I'm telling you now, if you ascribe to these statutes, laws, and commandments, they will do the inventory of your life and have you began cleaning house in your lifestyle. Yeshua said this in Matthew 5:17-19. He said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy. I came to fulfill." So what he's saying is, I came to fulfill Tanakh, what the prophets said would happen. Isaiah, that branch that I read of, that branch, that root out of Jesse. I'm coming to fulfill these things, but I'm not destroying none of it. Verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." So he's saying that the law will be in existence. None of it's going to pass until this earth and this heaven has been destroyed. And that hasn't happened. Because when we see the new heaven and new earth coming into existence, into being, that's going to be the thousand-year millennial reign that we're going into. And that new covenant will have the law upon everybody's hearts. And every man shall know who he is, and every man shall serve him. 19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom." Listen to me closely. You should start learning Torah immediately. As you begin to grow in Torah, you can then focus on the Ten Commandments. And as you begin to, perfect, I think I can say that, perfect these Ten Commandments, then you can move to the one that Yeshua said embodies the Ten and the other, the rest of Torah. Love the Most High with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But if you have not went to the beginning of Torah to learn dietary law, the holy days, the Sabbath, how I should honor mother and father, how I should dress, how I should treat my neighbor, if you haven't learned there, started there, you can't just focus on the ten. We got to get some righteousness, some salvation, some deliverance in you by teaching you Torah. Why, V? Because of what 19 said. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them," being very, very specific right there. Don't just teach it. You better be doing it. You better be about it. "The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Your righteousness is your keeping of the commandments and laws." Verse 20 is stating that. So he's saying that these very staunch keepers of the law back in his time, which were the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew it. And sometimes, yeah, the pharisaical attitude, the Sadducees, these scribes would have, they're the ones who said, "May his sin be upon our children's children. Give us Barabbas." But he knew that they knew it, which is why they always kept trying to trap him up. And he is the word. You couldn't trap him. So what I'm ascribing to is that many people start hearing the law, "We don't have to keep the law." It's because they think it's too hard and they don't want to change. They don't want to do it. People want to live any kind of way, and they want to be comfortable in their sin. I'm sorry. We're here to make you uncomfortable today and tell you to take inventory. You need to be keeping, teaching, doing the law. Come up out of Christianity. Come up out of tradition. Come up out of the rudiments of the world, temptations of the world, and get your life right. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Oh, man, ain't nobody perfect. Our favorite saying, but yet this is what Yeshua said, and this is what he ascribed to, that we should strive for that perfection. Let me give it to you in Strong's Greek interpretation for that. Maybe give you some more insight before I say it, because I understand that perfection is learning how to and living this lifestyle of keeping these laws. You're striving for perfection. You're striving for perfection when you stop laying down the foundation of repentance every day. If you're still repenting every day, you haven't moved on to perfection. Now, in the Strong's 5046, we see teleos, which means be complete and have mental and moral character. Show growth. Be one full of age. I have to confess, growing older hasn't made it easier. You just get wiser and a little slower and put a little more value on things. When you're young and dumb, in another word we say, I'm not going to say today, I won't say it, but it's true, because it's that level of testosterone that drove us crazy as young men to not be able to stop and focus. So let me read that again in the Greek, what perfect is, so you, because that really hits home. It's saying mental and growth within mental and moral character. You becoming complete. So the request of you being perfect as your Father is perfect is for you to start growing into being complete and to change your character. And what is character? A fixed, predictable image. And there's not a lot of character left in society today, because you will see somebody today and tomorrow don't know what you're going to get because of all the demons that are activated out here, the sickness and the fear and the rudiments of the world. When he said, come out of her, my people. So this is a process of separation. Seems like you're seeing racism. But no, he's getting ready to separate the wheat from the tare. And I know it's being done in a cold-blooded, malicious way, especially with this separation of who got the jab and who didn't get the jab. Let's be color-coded. Let's have something we put on our Facebook posts. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's start separating. It's just the beginning of Jacob's trouble, because the separation has definitely come down to who's Jacob and who's Esau. Things have been hidden in plain sight. Let's read some more scriptures so you can see this this flow here, who we are as a people and doing this inventory. Let's read Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9, verses 3-5. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Yah and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Yah blessed forever. I don't think you understand what I just read. Understand, this is after the ascension of Yeshua, and this is Paul teaching, preaching, and he's making clear. He didn't say they're Christians. He said Israelites. Do you know Israelites is mentioned in the word, I believe, over close to, I don't quite have the memory. I know it's way over 200 times, but we're Israelites. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and we're Israelites. Now, let's read this again. I want you to hear this. This is us right now. This, when they were making disciples, they were dealing with Israelites, not spiritual Israelites. The real people who have these blessings, which is why we must come back. Verse 4, who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? He said according to the flesh in verse 3, not spiritual. Let me read verse 3 again for you. For I can wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Who said? Paul said he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, my brothers are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants. Given to us were the covenants, which is why we must still keep it. And the giving of the law. That law still exists with us. And the service of Yah. We must perform for him because then the promises are on us. Verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. All of this according to the flesh, not spiritual, that we must return and keep the laws. And this is about the flesh. And even when we talk about taking inventory today, we're talking about cleansing the iniquities of the flesh, getting rid of the transgressions. The covenants that are there, they were given to us, which is why the curses are given to us. Everything you see happening to our people, don't you know that we're the most hated all over the world? And he said, he told us not to be surprised. If they didn't love me, they're not going to love you. The book of Isaiah gives us description, and the book of Josephus, but I'm not going into today, of the way Yeshua looked. And they said he was not one desired or to be looked upon like you look at some of these movie stars and Hollywood stars who represent fallen deities and angels. He said he wasn't one for you're not going to gasp over him when you see him. First of all, we know the other nations are going to be pissed because they're going to realize he is a black man. And then they're going to be horrified and afraid. And guess who else is going to be shocked to see him? His own people. Because we don't want to believe who we are as a people and who he was and what he expected of us through him. Let's get a few more scriptures before we get up out of here. Hebrews 8:8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Psalms 19:7. I'm about to just start reading some of these scriptures. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man. We read that one earlier. So we're not ascribing to replacement theology. We want clear distinction between spiritual Israelites and Israelites of the flesh. And then let's go to Jeremiah 10:25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and made his habitation desolate. This is a prayer that Jeremiah was asking as I opened up with another scripture. In reference to Isaiah 45:17, how much longer will we suffer? And what I read in Esdras, 2 Esdras, the 6th chapter, that all the other nations were at spittle on what they've done to us and were calling out for him to avenge us. We're moving and we're being eaten up and devoured and being given this jab, dropping dead in Israel, just going through a lot of different struggles and trials, and believe it or not, we're just now entering into Jacob's trouble. It's going to get worse. There are things planned for society, but what I'm trying to get you to do is to get to a place to where these things, you'll hear them and they won't bother you, but it's not going to happen until right now during this period of transition that we're getting ready to go into, because we're going into the final seconds of this world and the heaven of this world as it exists is getting ready to come to an end. Okay, because there's a new world, there's a new heaven, a new earth that will come. So the way we know it now will come to an end. The things that you heard about are going to happen. There will be a third world war. There's already a war taking place with biochemical weapons, cyber attacks with artificial intelligence, because you got to understand something. Cyber attacks and artificial intelligence, that incorporates technology with chips and data and information that controls cars, bombs, workforces, how we function. Right now, everything is computer-oriented, so if they can knock out the grid of a certain area, it comes to a complete halt. Your electrical grid, as far as your lighting system within your city, another country like Russia can just go into the computer and knock out the lighting grid of an entire city, because these are the types of wars we're in now. But don't get it twisted. Nuclear bomb, destruction, fire. He said these things would happen, that there would be destruction by fire. You got to ask yourself, are you ready and equipped enough, especially, you know, stop the debating, fussing over the name of Yeshua, fussing over doctrines, fussing Christianity. Are you ready to be able to see these things and walk through by faith and be willing to risk your life and say, I'll die. For Yah, I'll live, and for Yah, I'll die. It means my head being chopped off. If it means anything, me not taking that mark, me starving for 2 weeks because I can't buy or sell. And you know you're not there if you haven't done spiritual inventory of how much do you really love Yah, or do you like just being down? Because that's really indicative of our culture. I want to be down. But you don't want to pay the price. You don't want to pay the cost, sacrifice, make the sacrifice. So the inventory I speak of today is spring clean, because we don't have the time that you think we have. I'm troubled every day, but I have to encourage myself like David did to not be vexed or over worried things that I can't fix or change, especially when it comes to our loved ones who want to go get the jab or who don't want to completely repent or that are trying to party this thing away, thinking that this is going to go away. There's a darker day coming. And we're supposed to be like John the Baptist right now, voices crying out in the wilderness and also being consistent with it. So where does your love lie? So I went through this plethora of just different verses and scriptures to let you know that it must be within the commandments and the covenant. And if you're going to be in this covenant, you got to break all other covenants, oaths, secret societies, Freemasons, Eastern Stars. To be down with other people, you take an oath and establish a covenant with them. You got to break a lot of covenants in your life. Break the covenant of pagan worship. A lot of us still have a predilection for pagan worship because you black folks sure can't sing. The choir was singing. I don't know what pastor was preaching about. Bling and money and the camaraderie. Don't let it be where silence is too loud for you. Let it be to the point where in peace and patience you possess your soul, where you can actually sit still and hear the wind of the Spirit, the Ruach. They said they were waiting in the upper room. This is the season of Pentecost. And all of a sudden came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. That means there was stillness and quietness, and then suddenly, and then the fire sat upon them. Inventory should be every Shabbat, every Friday sundown. Actually, it should be every day, but if you can only get to it once a week, because it gave you 6 days to work. And trust me, I know that those 6 days sometimes are a struggle to be a voice crying in the wilderness, because Saturday should be your day of rest and restoring and renewal and peace. But there's something that you don't need anymore, and you need to throw them away. I get on my wife all the time, throw that stuff away. I'm talking about physical stuff that she likes to hold on to reflect. But right now I'm talking about spiritual stuff. Some of y'all got some spiritual stuff that y'all need to go into your closet and just go ahead and get rid of. Life is not going to be the same.
And he's setting you up for success because the Bible says these prophecies are saying he's going to gather us. And then he's going to purge out the rebels after he gathers us. And if you're not a doer, teacher, hearer, believer, chances are you may be one of the rebels that won't make it even when you're gathered. You're going to be left behind because of your stubbornness and your desire to want to hold on to the rudiments of the world and the world itself, just like Lot's wife. Let me take one more look. I encourage you today to stop looking back and start maybe even physically letting some stuff go, because what you're doing is you're nurturing and practicing yourself to walk into the new. If you want a new you, there's things from your past you're going to have to let go of and walk in the newness of the spirit of Yah. And I know it's a fearful place, but to Yah, it's a place of faith because you're saying, I trust you. What's around the corner? I don't know what Monday holds, but you do. So I'm holding your hand, and I'm keeping your commandments, and I'm going to let you drive. I'm going to put seatbelt on because this stuff right here has gotten beyond me. This battle of good and evil. This stuff is deep. Your family needs you. Your children need you. The body of Yesha needs you. Yah, he's dependent on you. He don't need you, but he's like, he's pulling for you. He's called you his family. He said, you're my people. He said, I've made covenant with you. I love you so much. I keep coming back to you. And Satan hates me for it. But you're my people. I love you. I called you. I'm letting you suffer for a while because you neglect to keep these commandments. So my anger is subsiding, and I'm preparing to get ready to bring you home to safety and give you the life eternal that I promised you to your father Adam, but sealed up through your brother Yeshua. So yeah, we gotta wait our turn, brothers and sisters. I know y'all like to turn up, but it's not our time, but it's coming. And we'll be tried in the fire, but we'll come out as pure gold. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. You've been listening to V, the Preacher, here on the Today Show, the Israelite Way of Life Inventory, spring cleaning, to just remember to keep the commands, laws. I'm dedicated to teaching the word and reading scriptures on the Sabbath, because they're trying to censor us, block our shows. I did a show a month ago, and the whole show was wiped out because they didn't want it out there, certain things I said. But you can't touch the word of Yah, because he watches over his word to perform it, and you might run a social media company, but you don't run this world. Yah does. And when I teach and preach this word, he watches over it to perform it. I'll deal with the world and prophecy throughout the week. We'll talk about that. But you already see and know the prophecy. I need you to get your life, get your act together, to make sure that you make it up out of here and get to the kingdom. All right. That being said, I pray that you have a wonderful Sabbath. Continue to enjoy the day, get your rest, listen to some other programs, enjoy the day, but try not to break these statutes, laws, and commandments. Walk in his righteousness and be blessed until we can truly get to Mount Zion.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down, oh Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh yes, you've been building your kingdom. Oh Lord,
all over this land.
That's all right. Preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
Gonna break your kingdom down. Oh, you better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the
mothers are gonna break your kingdom down.
Blessed are they that mourn. Lord, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, this takes my mind back to the clear hills of Carolina. I never will forget that little wooden church that we had there. We didn't have pianos. We didn't have nothing but drums. There were times when the saints would just nod their head. They would just pat their feet. I'd like to remind Satan one more time. His time is just about out. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Satan, Satan, Satan. We're gonna tear your kingdom down. You better watch out now.
Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom.
Gonna tear your kingdom.